the word on Thursday night was that the market for Byram had been a little bit softer than they liked. Now, I don't think it's because Byram is a bad player or anything like that. I just heard they weren't getting the kinds of offers that they want. Now, maybe that'll change on Friday. Like, all it takes is one phone call to change things. What someone said to me is all of a sudden, you know, you look at that Buffalo defense, you got Dalene Byram, you got Power Kesselring, you got Samuelson Bernard Docker. That could be, in theory, a real strength of their team. And again, the Sabres might not feel the same way, but this was an executive on another team. He was looking at it and saying, like, that's not a bad defense. If Buffalo isn't crazy about the offers for Byram, maybe you start the season with them. Could do a lot worse than what you got there.
That is Elliot Friedman early this morning on his podcast, 32 Thoughts. I will say, I would assume they're not getting the offers that they necessarily want because he hasn't been traded yet. But anyways, he says the market's a little softer than maybe some would think. But Darren Dreger did list 8 teams that have been in on him. So anyways, that's the next thing on the docket is Byram and also the draft tonight. Paul Hamilton joins now on the Wester Hotline. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I actually want to start before we get to the draft or we get to the Sabres. This Josh is heading the update. The CBA being extended, Paul, and going to an 84-game season. They used to have 84 games, right? Early 90s. But I guess why they've really felt the need to add 2 more games, and we also, I wonder if we'll even really notice because it's such a small difference compared to 82.
Well, it's all money. I mean, you get 2 more games of revenue out of it, but for me, I mean, I know Brian Koziel and I have had this conversation probably for longer than 10 years. This season should be shortened if you want better hockey. I mean, you should take 10 games off instead of, you know, always having, it seems like you always have a team playing 3 and 4 or, you know, back to back or, you know, just a bunch of games and just trying to get through it type of a thing. It's like, well, we really can't play the game we want to play. We're going to have to play a different game here because we know we're dead tired and we're just going to have to see if we can get through it and get a couple of points or a point out of it and steal a point or have a goaltender stand on his head. Or, you know, every time there's a break, like an Olympic break, and you come back for probably the first 3 or 4 days, you see fantastic hockey. It's just great because all the teams are rested. They're ready to go. Sometimes it's a little bit of sloppy hockey because they haven't played in a bit, but that's okay. And you know, but it's fast hockey, and it's just you enjoy watching it throughout the league. And you know, it's because you don't have teams dragging, but they're never going to do that because it's going to take money out of the owners' pockets.
Yeah, it also could lead to, I saw this being written about yesterday, could lead to the season, like the way they might do it is the season would start earlier, maybe even into like late September. And, man, like, think about how, not that the team in the finals will be complaining, but how long a team could be playing. I mean, you could be playing from, like, the end of September into the end of June. I mean, the length in which the season goes over the course of the calendar would be, I think, it already feels like it's long enough on that front.
Well, it's just replacing 2 regular season games, or 2 preseason games with 2 regular season games.
Right. Because they'd be shortening the preseason in addition.
Right, which is, you know, what it winds up with. That's where you would be if you're going to back up a little bit and take 2 preseason games off the docket. So, because that last preseason game is almost never including NHL players. That last preseason game is almost always the Rochester Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, teams not using their NHL players, so you know, it's one of those games anyway where it's just a throwaway anyway. I mean, it's not, very few coaches are playing players that are fighting for jobs or anything like that. That's usually already been taken care of by the last preseason game.
Paul Hamilton with us on the Western Hotline. So, Paul, speaking yesterday to Michael Kesselring and Josh Doan, they did Zoom calls with the media. What did you learn talking to them for the first time?
Well, they, you know, it's a new beginning. I mean, Kesselring enjoyed the first year of being in Utah and is going to leave a lot of different friends that he had. But, you know, he's excited for the role that he's going to get in Buffalo. It's a, you know, an elevated role and something that he's looking forward to. And, you know, he had an opportunity to try it out last year because Utah had some injuries. So he got to play top 4 minutes for quite a long period of time last year because of a couple injuries that Utah had, and he did very well with it. His numbers were excellent with it and showed that. Plus, you know, I remember watching the World Championships and, you know, thinking to myself, he's a pretty good hockey player. I mean, he had a lot of responsibility for Team USA at the World Championships when they won the gold medal. And I remember thinking, you know, here's a guy that stuck out. And I think that's part of the problem here as far as, you know, many folks thinking, well, you didn't get enough for this. And I think a lot of it is, who's Michael Kesselring is what, you know, people are saying. Or they don't know really what the Sabres got out of it. And so I understand that thought. Or even Josh Doan, they may have heard of Josh Doan because of his father. Mm-hmm. But they may not know, you know, what type of player he is and, you know, what he brings to the table. So, you know, I think that's part of it, you know, where people are saying the Sabres didn't do well in the return just because they got a couple of players where people are like, well, who's that?
Right. And it is betting on them to be able to continue what they've done playing in elevated roles for a whole season. Right, Paul? Because if you look at, like, for the whole season, I think Kesselring was sixth on their defense in average ice time, and then Doan was 11th amongst their forwards. You make the right point about Kesselring, though. I was looking at this yesterday. I think it was the first 50 games he played more than 20 minutes a night, like 20 times, and he didn't do it from there on because they were healthy at the end, and he had good numbers at the start of the year. So, and here, I mean, you wouldn't believe at all, right, Paul, that he's not going to play at least, what, 19 minutes a night, if not 20 for this team?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would be surprised if he doesn't start with Owen Power. And, I mean, he had a heck of a game against the Buffalo Sabres last year. I mean, he had the Gordie Howe hat trick in one period. Mm-hmm. I mean, he fought Beck Malenstein early in the period, scored a goal. He has a bullet shot. His shot is, well, he and Thompson went back and forth with the hardest shot last year. And mm-hmm. then he undressed J.J. Paterka. It's kind of weird that it was... And had a fantastic assist to Schmaltz right at the end of the period. So he had a goal, an assist, and a fight in one period against Buffalo. And before the year before that, he scored his first NHL goal here in Buffalo against his former teammate at Northeastern, Devin Levi. So he's had some good success in this building.
What about Doan? He's the second piece of that trade for most, looking at like what how much they should be valued. He was a fourth liner a lot last year, sometimes third line. He actually got even on the power play. He had 3 power play goals last year. Do you see him as, this is a bottom six guy for a long time that's a tough dude and is going to defend well, or do you think there could be more there? I mean, he's only played 62 NHL games, but like last year in the AHL, he's almost a point per game player. He was a second round pick. So do you see him as maybe having more in there than what we've seen offensively?
Well, he's got a heck of a shot. I was listening to the beginning of Ray Ferraro and Darren Dreger's podcast, and that trade was the first thing they talked about. And, you know, Ferraro saw Doan quite a bit last year in the games that he did and talked about how he goes, it's a young player, and he said you could see the growth in him. And he said you could see him, he goes, what many rookies do. They're just trying to find their way through the NHL. And it's their first year in the NHL, and they're just trying to find their way. And he goes, he saw that in Doan, and he thinks there's a good upside to him where, you know, you may see some better point production out of him than you saw in his rookie year with that shot. He said here was a guy that as he was getting more used to it was very good on the forecheck, would get in there and, you know, start causing havoc and just being a problem for other teams to be able to handle. But he saw an upside that could be there too. Now, I don't know if you're talking an upside. You know, I don't think you're talking an upside like a first-line winger or a top, I should rather say top-line winger. But, you know, certainly a guy that, you know, could, as he put it, could be a good NHL player for years to come.
Just looking at the roster right now, part of the reason I asked that is they have a lot of guys at forward right now. If you were to look at, like, just the list of their forwards and who kind of gets thought of as a bottom six guy, McLeod, Greenway, Zucker, add Doan into the mix, Krebs, Malenstein, Lafferty is still under contract. We've talked about Zach Benson and how that probably is where he should be to start next year until he proves it. Maybe you think Quinn is that. Paul, they're either going to move another name or two out, or maybe I'm putting somebody into this lineup that shouldn't be, or they are seeing Benson or Zucker or Quinn maybe as somebody that they think will play in an elevated role this season.
Yeah, I mean, once I took Paterka out of the lineup, quite honestly, Quinn was the guy I wound up throwing into the top six. Now, that's without making a trade, or I mean, I would doubt that the forward group as we see it right now is what it's going to be. You know, I still like the line of McLeod, Zucker, and Greenway together. I think that's a very solid line that you can get out of there. And I had Krebs with Malenstein and Doan. Right now, I probably wouldn't have Lafferty in the lineup. If he winds up in Rochester, that's whatever. You know, I don't think it's the end of the world. So Lafferty right now would be the extra guy. And Benson would still be up there. I mean, in my mind, they have an opening for two top six forwards. Are they going to be able to accomplish that? Well, only time will tell. But, you know, so, and then if that happens, maybe Quinn's not in your lineup. Maybe he's sitting out in the beginning and is going to have to earn his way back into the lineup, you know, with the way he played last year.
Do you feel like, too, whoever they add at forward, there will be a mind paid to that player's ability on the power play? Because they've really struggled on that unit for 2 years. And Paterka, listen, for all the goals he scored, a lot of them were not on the power play. Like, if you look at the list of guys that have scored as many even strength goals as he has, he's got, like, the fewest of that list on the man advantage. So, not to say, like, that would be the sole reason they would add for that, but it has been 2 years since they have really been an efficient unit. And I wonder if whoever they add there, that's something that'll be in the back of their minds.
Well, if you're adding a guy that is a top six forward and maybe a veteran, you're probably
you going would assume
to be you would exactly
yeah
you would assume that he's a power play guy. So I think that's where your power play. Plus Norris, you know, starts healthy. He really hasn't been on the Sabre power play except for a game, and that,
right.
I think that was it. So that's a new person on the power play. Kulik is a year older, you know, and is, I would expect, is going to be a power play player in his career. So, you know, for guys that are already on the team, but I'm not sure guys were talking about the power play or even on the team yet that can maybe help their power play.
Paul Hamilton with us on the Wester Hotline. Okay, Paul, so the draft tonight, 9 overall. Adams has spoke pretty openly about, you know, being willing to trade the pick. What are the odds you think they actually do trade the pick? Because even
I'm not going to
say not to ask
the
like
odds
specific odds. But
I would have told you it was better than 50-50 last year, and nobody traded their pick.
That's why I was going to ask, because as much as we might talk about it, it is like I saw a list of top 10 picks that have been traded, and it just doesn't really happen that much in the NHL.
No, it doesn't. And when you think there's going to be a bunch of trades is when they happen, and when you don't think there are is when they do happen. It's just the way it goes. It's impossible to know what would let everything start happening or why it doesn't happen. It's just I think general managers, they just get a little squirrely. It's like, oh, I don't want to trade the pick and then have it come back to haunt me or things like that. So, you know, they wind up making the pick. I mean, if you look at what Buffalo might be able to get out of that pick, I mean, you know, you certainly they're not going to get the best defenseman unless they move up, and which isn't done that often either, and Matthew Schaefer, but who probably goes first overall. But, I mean, they could get possibly the second defenseman overall. I mean, there's a bunch of guys, you know, we've talked about Mertka, Atchison, there's Jackson Smith, who is also in there, played at Tri-City last year, some defensemen that they, you know, definitely could use. So all or none of those three could be there, you know, at nine when we're talking. You know, I could really see if the Sabres do make the pick, them being able to get a defenseman and maybe the second best defenseman in the draft.
Do you know how it's going to work tonight? Like, is Bettman going to make all the picks because they're live there, but the GMs are remote? Will the GMs do it? Do you have any clue?
They probably do it the same way they did. They always do, where you know Bettman announces it. Well, you know, brings a team that's in to say who they want as their pick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now the NFL, the commissioner announces it, but in
right. The
NHL, they always brought the teams up on stage and the teams. I mean, Celine Dion announced the Montreal Canadiens pick last year because it was
yes.
in Vegas, which was kind of cool. You know, it'll be interesting to see now. You know, going. I'm trying to think what happened during COVID when
I
the whole
think
draft if, was remote.
I think Adams announced them picking Owen Power from like the club level, if I remember right. They had
yes,
something set up.
You're right. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Yep. So maybe they'll just do that again. We're like Bettman will tee it up. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. You know,
interesting.
Those type of logistics, I don't pay that much attention to. So
until
now that you brought it up, it's the first time I've thought about it. So I'm kind of spitballing and guessing as we go along.
Yeah,
here.
One way or another, we'll find out who they draft in the moment. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Thanks, Paul, and enjoy the draft. 7 o'clock tonight for coverage, and we'll be listening.
Yeah, Brayton and Brian Kozia will get us started. I'll be down at the – I keep wanting to say the arena. I will be down at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be an arena down there for the first outdoor game, but there won't be tonight.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul Hamilton with us as the draft gets rolling tonight at 7 o'clock. We have another good clip on Bo Byram and kind of the Sabres' place in all of this offseason from Elliot Friedman. He talked a lot, I guess, on his podcast early this morning about the Sabres this offseason. And if you got reaction to what we just had to say with Paul, the Paterka trade, how many moves away the Sabres are, tonight and the next few days as we head into free agency is going to shape this team. As they already have started that with the Paterka trade. 803-0550. Also, I want to get to the NFL collusion case that has been talked about and reported on. It's not being mentioned, though, on the big networks, which I also think is interesting. Florio and Pablo Torre got a court document that kind of proves that the NFL is willing to... I think the word has to be collude. So I want to get to that as well coming up here on WGR.
It's a big part of my game the last few years and why I've become a better player, I think. I think defensively I've slowly become harder to play against since I signed pro, and that's one thing I really want to take pride in this year. Honestly, I'm not the biggest fan of fighting, but I like to think I'm a good teammate, good locker room guy, and when it has to happen, it has to happen. I'm 6'5", I got to stand up for myself, for my teammates, so something I'm not afraid to do for sure, and I think there's still a lot of value in hockey today. You police the game, you help your team in any way you can, and that's another way you can do it.
Michael Kesselring, newest Buffalo Sabre, who will he will need a number, and he wore number 7 in Utah. That is unavailable. Would it be funny if he just wore 77?
I was just going to say that. If he just takes 77 Pedroia's number and...
That could be a defenseman number, right? 77? Didn't Kulikov wear 77?
He
Maybe
did.
Here?
He did. I think here, yes. Because he had seven before he came here.
Actually, it's an all-time defenseman number because isn't Paul Coffey and Ray Bourque also 77? I think 77 is a good defenseman number. Although, is it a good big defenseman number? Still yes. No, still yes.
Four players have worn 77 in Sabres history. Pierre Turgeon, Chris Gratton, Dmitry Kulikov for one season. And J.J. Uh-huh. Paterka.
All right, it's two forwards and two defensemen. It's a good number. It's a good number. If he doesn't go with seven, he wore five in Arizona. Is five unavailable right now? We haven't retired it for Tony Ludman yet.
Last Sabre to wear it was Matt Tennyson.
Okay, so it's been a minute.
2019.
I think. How long ago is that? Matt Tennyson, who even is that?
You don't remember Matt Tennyson? Come on.
I don't... Like the name sounds familiar, but he'd probably be a good Sabre rando answer, looking back on just random players from the last 10 years. Anyways, Kesselring, you know, as we learn more and more about these guys, by the way, 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in. Open segment here, and at 8 o'clock, we've got a Utah guest coming up at 9 to get a little bit more on these two. But the more you learn about Kesselring, the more he's interesting. He's curious. Like, I don't know how he got drafted where he did. He's a sixth-round pick. He's fast and big. But he does, like, he talks there in that clip about physicality and defending teammates. And I saw a lot of, like, well, that's what fans are going to love to hear. Like, this guy's going to stand up for teammates. And he does fight. So, I think if you're worried about more players that aren't going to do anything when your best player's helmet gets taken off and is laying at center ice, I think you've got two guys here that you shouldn't have to worry about. But hit stats are generally pretty unreliable in the NHL, right? But he does not throw the body around a lot. Like 87 hits last season in 82 games. That ain't much. Like Samuelson had 50 more than that. Or something close to it. So, I don't know that he's going to be this big hulking defenseman that's going to impose his physicality. He might stand up for teammates, but I still think the speed and the size of the shot is going to be what's going to jump out to people right away when you watch him.
He's fun to watch play. He flashes a lot. I did some digging mm-hmm. on him last night, and he's just got a lot of jam. Like he's not super aggressive physically, like you mentioned.
Yep.
But he does do it when it's appropriate, and he does a really good job with the puck on his stick. He struggles a little bit breaking the puck out of his own end, which is a little concerning. But
yep.
When you've got Owen Power as your partner, you might be able to just dump it off to him and kind of let Power do whatever Power does. That's kind of the give and take when you have a guy like Power. As your partner, you can use him for stuff like that, but you've got to be able to cover for him in the D zone when he gets there. And just a quick note about his draft year. It looks like he played some prep hockey before he went to the USHL and got drafted that year.
Gotcha.
So it was likely a competition question issue more than it was
gotcha.
His draft profile in and of itself. I know a lot of guys that play high school or prep hockey out east,
mm-hmm.
they get drafted, but it's often... It's hard to project because they're not playing against the same level of competition as you see in the USHL or the OHL, WHL, all that.
Okay.
So it's just kind of a little tougher to project that stuff. That's probably why he slipped to where he did when Edmonton took him.
By the way, not this past year, the year before, he did receive 1 fourth place and 5 fifth place Calder votes for his rookie season. Michael Kesselring. By the way, as the chat points out, Colin wrote that Hedman wears 77. We missed that one.
Oh, yeah.
We went straight back to the 90s. We skipped the multi-Norris trophy winner in the league right now that wears 77. So definitely a defenseman number.
Yeah.
I think I'm in. Take it. Why not? The guy that you got traded for. And then, actually, this happened more than 10 years ago now. And maybe they've done it since. But I remember when the Sabres traded Derek Roy to Dallas and got Steve Ott back in the trade. My brother had a Derek Roy jersey, and the Sabres offered for free, bring your Roy jersey in and we'll change the nameplate for you, and you'll have a Steve Ott jersey.
They did the same thing with Eichel when he changed from 15 to 9.
Right.
I had an Eichel 15, but I decided to keep
it. Now, See, the two things that are weird there is that's two numbers that you're changing, or what? Yeah, and in my brother's case, you're changing a three-letter number for a three-letter number. Would they not offer it for free because of how long Kesselring's name is? No. We don't need to do that. Brian in Buffalo is next up. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
So, I hate to be this person, but I disagree with everything you guys say. I've been listening since 6 a.m., driving to the Adirondacks at the moment. This team is an abomination of professional sports. The only team worse than a run out of the four pro leagues are the Jets, hands down. Ownership is a joke. Management is non-existent. The Sabres need to go out and find their Brandon Bean. They need to be aggressive, make a trade, find a Josh Allen type. Oh, wait, we had that guy in Sam Reinhardt. We had that guy in Jack Eichel. It's disgusting that this team can't do anything. I can't believe people are continuing to support this garbage product on the ice, continuing to fill the barn, continuing to buy season tickets. That's the only way things are going to change around here, is for people to protest, revolt, stand up, impeach Kathy Hochul, and stop buying tickets to this team. It's a joke.
Well, Brian, wouldn't you say that is happening? Like, their attendance has been going down and down and down every year.
No, I don't. I want to see the 300 bowl completely empty, vacant. People with brown paper bags on their head, like the old New Orleans Aints. Like, I don't understand why people are just like, la-di-da, like, okay, let's go. Everything's great. This is a great family atmosphere.
I don't really think that is, like, some people maybe will do that, but they get torched on a daily basis for almost everything. And I think they have earned that, but it definitely happens.
Yeah, they should get torched. And you know what? We went to the Rangers game last year before Christmas. It was great sitting amongst Rangers fans. Like, they actually have something to cheer for. What free agent in their right mind is going to want to come here to lose? Who are you going to play with here? Tage Thompson? If Thompson played on another team with legit players, the guy's probably a Brett Hall type, scoring 70 goals. It's just insane.
I mean, he's scoring as many goals as anybody in the league already. Nobody's scoring 70 goals. So
no, I disagree with that. He goes plays with Connor McDavid. He's putting 70 in the net. I mean, it's just ridiculous. These guys play in Buffalo. I personally think if a player was playing here, they're going to tank and suck on purpose so they can get traded the hell out of here. Who wants to play here? I mean, this organization is good at one thing: losing. That's all they've done since they've come into the NHL. It is a joke. Sell the franchise, move them, trade them for Major League Baseball. Like, I won't be buying a jersey. Yep, see ya.
Thanks, Brian, for the call. Listen, I think you are completely within the right to be that angry about this team. I do think you're not giving fans enough credit, though, for holding the team accountable.
Yes.
I do think that the Saber fans hold this team accountable. They do it by, I mean, like, sure, the negativity can sometimes be depressing, how much of there is. But that's how you hold them accountable, is not checking out and being angry. And sure, with your wallets and not buying tickets. And listen, that's been happening. For years now, the season ticket base has shrunk. The attendance numbers have shrunk. The fan engagement has shrunk. Like, I don't doubt that they feel that. And I think they deserve it. I think you're just taking some things way too far. Tage Thompson led the league in even strength goals last year. He scored 47 a couple of years ago. Like, sure, would he score 55 if he played with, you pick the best player in the league? Yes, that's probably right. Everybody would see 20 more goals on their stats. Austin Matthews would probably score 85 if he played with Connor McDavid. Most would. But then you don't have to take it as far as you did on some of those fronts. I think they get criticized the proper amount, which is a lot.
Right, and doesn't it feel almost, at least it does to me, like this Paterka deal is universally hated by almost everybody.
I wouldn't say universally. I would say the majority, though, doesn't like it.
And I think that has changed from the initial moment that it happened. Mm-hmm. Because I think people are so angry at this team that anything that happens with them, I don't like that. It's bad. They did it. It must be bad. And I think that a lot of people have that initial reaction, rightfully so. Like, they have earned that. They've earned every bit of that. But I think that we've seen as the day goes, we heard Sal yesterday as the show went. He's like, I like this trade more and more. I feel similarly about it. I like the players they got back. Was it enough value? No. They didn't get slaughtered here. I think they got a good player in Kesselring and the potential for a nice depth piece in Doan. And everybody hated it because of what we're talking about here. Because they've earned the skepticism and the anger from the fan base. It's completely well within everybody's right to feel the way they do about it. And it's well within the caller's right to feel the way he does with that, about it. But you also then have to take a step back, and with time comes, all right, let's get a little more objective about this and analyze this.
And I also don't want to disparage. Like, I'm angry about this team, and it's one of the worst. It's probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me, like, as a sports fan.
Oh, yeah.
Because I grew up, I like, hockey was my sport. Like, I fell in love with this team in 06. And for them to go half my life without making the playoffs has been horrific. I hate it. But I don't disparage anybody for not wanting to be angry about it all the time. I actually kind of envy that person that's able to kind of just not get mad about it and not feel like they need to crawl into a sinkhole every time the team comes up. Some people that can just enjoy it for what it is, which is, I'm going to go to a hockey game and, oh, they're not good this year. Oh, dang, that stinks. And like, oh, maybe next year. You know, like, that fan, I'm not saying, like, the caller almost kind of tries to imply that that fan's not as much of a fan because you're not willing to hold the team accountable. And even though I think most are, the fan that just wants to go to a game and have a great time and loves hockey and grew up loving this team and doesn't want to live in the sewer with all of us.
Right.
You know, like, I don't feel like that fan deserves any criticism.
Right. I think if you are able to disconnect from them emotionally in the way that you're describing, where you can not be so negatively affected, good for you. I wish I could do that, too.
I really do wish I could
I really wish it. I've been jealous of Bulldog at times because he's said that. He feels like it's almost, I don't know, like, all right, I'll care when they make me care. And I envy that in many ways because I care just so much about this team because hockey, similar to you, was my game. And I want to see them succeed. And I want to see the city when they succeed. I want to know what it's like to be an adult and have a successful hockey team in this place because I think it'll be incredible, and I've never known it.
Also, I would there's one more team in professional sports that I think is definitely worse. It wouldn't be the Jets. It's definitely the Pirates.
Yeah, the Pirates are.
The Pittsburgh Pirates, go Google Pittsburgh. They're having a year right now. Like, they hate their fans. Like, the Sabres might not, like Adams earlier in the week, there might be a disconnect between the organization and the fans on some fronts, but the Pirates act like they actively hate their fans with some of the things they do. Throwing out the bricks earlier in the year that season ticket holders had bought,
crazy.
And the thing where they had a doubleheader and they decided to play Paul Skeens in the game that no one was going to be at rather than the night game that everybody was going to be. Like, just, they do things like that all the time.
It's objectively
just, like,
hilarious how they run things.
Not to say the Sabres are a ton better, right. But the Pirates, I think, are like the worst team in all of sports. John, if you hang on hold through the break, we'll get to you right when we come back. This Sabres offseason, we'll see what it brings other than this Paterka trade. Tonight, the draft, 9 overall. Let's hope they trade the pick. Jody Biasi, Jeremy White's off today. Owen and Josh are hanging out as well here in WGR. Take it. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. Me, Josh, and Owen. We're gonna have some good naps later, I think.
Yeah.
It's a nap day?
It might be sleep day. Like, I might go home and go to sleep, and I'll wake up whenever I wake up.
Well, the longest I feel like I can take a nap without feeling like it just wrecks me for the rest of the day is like, I don't try to go more than an hour now.
It, yeah.
2 hours, I feel like I'm out of it for the rest of the day.
That's, yeah, 2 hour nap is, that's just a freight train now, right through the rest of the plan for whatever.
Yeah,
you're
what you're pointing to though is uncharted territory for me. Like, if I, what would it feel like to take a 4 hour nap today?
Right. Like, just go down
report
from
back.
Like 11 to 5 p.m. and yeah. just get up and eat dinner.
Yeah. All right. Do that and report back.
I can. BRB. Oh, I can do that.
Yeah. The guinea pig.
I am very confident in my ability to make that happen.
Yeah. John and Clarence, before we hit the top of the hour. What's up, John?
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Excuse me. I just got a comment to make on the Sabres. I agree with some of the things that last caller did. I think it was a little harsh even for the Sabres. But I'm at a point right now in my life where I'm sitting here going, just, you know, one Super Bowl before I leave this world. And I saw the 90s with Kelly and the guys. And but I am one of those guys that would just, it would be very upsetting to me as a Buffalo sports fan to see these, to see the Sabres leave. I understand the frustration with not the playoffs and everything. And what I do agree is to make this, to make this more attractive of a place to play for some teams. Look, we can't all play in Florida and California, let's face it. So it makes our management team, the coaching staff, that more important. But all I got to say is the Paterka thing, yeah, I'm upset about it, but let's just see where these two guys can go. We do need a little size and toughness on the team. And I just want you guys to know that this is the best drive into work of my day. I only go in 3 days a week. So I really enjoy listening to all you guys, and thanks for what you do. And just one more shout out, if I can, to all the Roswell riders tomorrow. God bless all of you.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John, for the call. Yeah, Ride for Roswell tomorrow. You can still donate. Head to the Ride for Roswell site, and we've got our team, Team WGR, with Bulldog leading the way. And if you search WGR on the site, you'll be able to find it there. Or we've got the link on our Twitter or Bulldog's Twitter as well, so you could check that out. So, yeah, good luck to all the riders tomorrow. I'd be riding. I have a wedding tomorrow. So, especially feeling what my legs feel like right now after the 11-day yesterday. Riding tomorrow morning and then going to a wedding where you're dancing until midnight, that would have been a lot.
So Sunday anyways. Would be an insane recovery day for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you're on hold, we'll get to you coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Any confidence level in the Sabres that they're going to do what they need to do? We all know what that is, right? They need to replace Paterka's goals. And how they'll do that? I got one tweet I want to read when we come back about, like, there really is a chance they don't find it. But there's free agency, there's the Byram trade, there's going to be opportunities here. It's draft day. 7 o'clock tonight starts our coverage. Jody Biasi, Josh Schmidt, Owen Parker here on WGR.